It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. New York City is expected to begin the first phase of reopening next month, which could mean hundreds of thousands of people returning to work. But one thing that has not been addressed yet is the question of how they will get there. The MTA has been aggressively cleaning, but hasn't yet released a plan for how to deal with crowding. And many people remain nervous about the idea of being packed into a crowded subway car while the coronavirus remains a threat. Mayor de Blasio was asked about it yesterday.
For the next few months, people are going to make their own choices. Some people are going to be comfortable in mass transit. Some are not. We just have to be honest and real about that.
So this morning, we're joined by Dr. Scott Weisenberg, an infectious disease specialist at NYU Langone. He joins us by Skype now to talk about some of these concerns. Hey, doctor. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the idea, right, of being in an enclosed subway car or a bus right now, I think understandably makes people a bit nervous. How worried should they be as we start to reopen in terms of using mass transit?
Sure. Well, you know, this is obviously a serious virus and can be transmitted from person to person through prolonged close contacts. So if somebody's on public transportation and they are in the same car with somebody who may have an infection and they're around that person for a long period of time and they're within 6 feet of them, they would be at some risk for getting the disease from that individual. And there's some things they could do to reduce that risk, such as mask wearing and hand washing.
You mentioned obviously social distancing is important, and the MTA says that might not be possible as more people are riding the system. So does that mean even if it is safe now, that it could change and be not safe as more people start to ride?
There's always going to be some risk when you're in prolonged close contacts with individuals, as opposed to probably a fairly minimal risk if you have transient contacts, such as walking by someone else on the subway car or bus.
Right.
People can reduce their risk again by wearing masks and other strategies. But if you're right by somebody on the bus or the subway and you have a 45-minute trip, that's a transmission risk. And again, if somebody's 2 feet away from you, you can reduce that risk by wearing a mask. And if they're wearing a mask, but that risk is not going to go down to zero.
Yeah. So we should mention, too, that the MTA has emphasized the amount of cleaning that they are doing here on trains and buses to keep riders and transit workers safe. It's experimenting with ultraviolet light. You can see some of those photos online, too. It looks pretty futuristic to disinfect train cars and terminals, and they're doing extensive overnight cleaning every night. So in your opinion here, how much will that really do to protect riders once you have a few million people taking the trains on a daily basis?
Well, I think that I certainly support that idea, and I think that's a great idea to try to reduce the risk of picking up the virus from a contact. You inadvertently touch a pole or a seat and get it on your hands and then infect yourself that way. But the main principal risk is going to be the people around you. And if those people look healthy, they may still have the virus because people can transmit the virus before they have symptoms, or some people don't even have symptoms. So the best way people to protect themselves is to assume that everyone around you might have the virus and we all have to take transportation to get to work, and protect yourself by wearing a mask and making sure other people around you are wearing masks as well. And that can minimize the risk.
Another one of these sci-fi things that we've been hearing about is this antimicrobial chemical that the agency is using. It says it could be applied to surfaces and it would prevent viruses from sticking to them for several weeks. Is that possible?
Well, there are certain products like that have to be studied and cleared, but there are other products that have that characteristic. If you have surfaces that are resistant to picking up viruses, then that would certainly help reduce the risk to the commuters as they start going on the MTA again.
Yeah. And some of the trains and buses, they are getting up there in age. Some of them are about half a century old. One can imagine the air might feel a little stale in there. Is there a way to improve air circulation on trains and buses to make them safer?
Well, as far as how to do the air circulation in the subway, that's a little bit out of my specialty. But
yeah,
we do know that people in areas where there's no ventilation, as opposed to, say, being outside or even being inside with the window open, that likely is going to increase the risk. So the more they can circulate the air and keep it in and out, and so that it's not people aren't sharing the same air, that can certainly reduce the risk.
One of the things that we're grappling with here, right, is that New York is kind of figuring a lot of this stuff out as we go, and we're implementing things as we go along here. But, of course, other countries are strangers to pandemics and having to kind of figure out how to operate mass transit in these situations. So is there an international best practice for what to do regarding public transit in the time of a pandemic?
I think you're right that this, I mean, this is a virus that didn't exist, you know, last September. So every country and every locality is just trying to really figure this out as we go along. So we don't have years of experience. We do obviously know how, you know, everybody knows if they're around people who have colds in regular years, you know you're likely to get that cold if you're around your friend who had a cold and you spend, you know, 2 hours with them. So I think some of the things we know from our common sense lifetime exposures we can probably apply.
Yeah.
And really those are going to be focused on avoiding these prolonged close contacts.
Is there like an international guide of some sort that we can be taking notes from?
Well, the CDC comes out with guidance. And I think they just came out with another one about public transportation, really emphasizing hand hygiene, though in other parts of the CDC they've de-emphasized that. So I think that this is always a work in progress. And as we, you know, there are studies ongoing about how viruses spread through the air and how important it is to be 3 to 6 feet away or 6 feet away and how likely it is if you're farther away. These are things which really are only really being looked at now for this virus. And so those are what will guide the future recommendations. So anything you see now is going to, by nature, be transient. I'm not sure if there's one particular source besides, I would certainly go to the CDC site as the principal one that will access the best advice from around the world.
Excellent. Dr. Scott Weisenberg is an infectious disease specialist at NYU Langone. Thanks so much for joining us, Doctor.
Pleasure. Here, bye-bye.